Well, this morning we are continuing in our sermon series, Tempted. It's a sermon series where we are looking at some of the greatest failures in all of Scripture. Times when characters in the Bible don't get it right, instead times when they get it wrong. Now, if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll remember we've talked about stories of people tempted to hold on or tempted to go it alone. And today we come to another story where someone got it wrong. It is the story of Jacob, the story of his brother Esau, the story of their father Isaac and their mother Rebekah. And most importantly, it was a story about a blessing. But before we come to the story, I would invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, several years ago, a Christian psychologist and therapist by the name of Paul Prusser discovered a troubling trend he was having with his clients. Prusser said at the end of just about every session, he couldn't quite explain why, but he always felt there was an awkward silence between himself and his patients as they were preparing to leave. Every week it was always the same, he said. The hour-long counseling session would end and the client would stand up beginning to gather his or her things. And Prusser would always turn to them and make some offhanded comment. He would say something like, well, we'll pursue this more next time. Or he'd say, don't forget to think about those questions I asked you earlier, or I'll see you next week. Now, it's not that there was anything wrong or inappropriate about these comments. It's just Prusser noticed they weren't entirely satisfying for his patients. People, they would always hesitate for a moment, always waiting. It was almost like they were longing for him to say something else, anything else. It's just he didn't know what else to say. It was always just an awkward goodbye. Now, what was going on? Well, the answer to his question came days later for Prusser at the end of a church service he was attending. It came at the moment in the church service when the pastor of his congregation stood up to give the benediction to the people. You remember the benediction, the part where the pastor stands before the people and says, "The Lord bless you and keep you," the time when the pastor says, "Grace and peace be with you." It's the time when the pastor invokes divine favor upon everyone gathered there as they prepare to go their separate way. That was it, Prusser said. That was what was going on in his counseling sessions. He would later write, deep down, he realized his clients, they were hungering for a benediction to be spoken into their lives. They were hungering for a word of hope to be given to them as they prepared to go their separate ways. They wanted someone to bless them. That was what they were waiting for. They were waiting for a blessing. It is, after all, one of the most human of all our needs that we share. It is something we all have in common, whether we realize it or not, deep down within us. Each of us desires to be blessed, don't we? Each of us desires someone in our life to speak God's favor upon us. We just want a blessing. And so Jacob knew the end was coming for his father Isaac. He knew it was just a matter of time before the two of them went their separate ways. After all, Isaac was over 100 years old at the time. His eyes were growing dim. The only thing Isaac had left to do in his life was simply pronounce a blessing on one of his two sons, and there was no question which son it would be. And Isaac said to Esau, "Esau, go and prepare me a meal. And after I eat the meal, I will bless you." See, that was going to be Isaac's final act of fatherly love. He was going to bless his son Esau. That was his plan, at least. But of course, things don't always work out like we planned them. Because you see, the story goes, as soon as Rebekah, Isaac's wife, heard what her husband planned to do, she decided to make some plans of her own. And she went to her son Jacob, and she told him to go and gather two of the most prized lambs they had, and to go gather some of the clothing of his brother. And she would prepare a meal, and he could dress as his brother and sneak into Isaac's room, and he could steal Isaac's blessing. And sure enough, that's exactly what Jacob did. Jacob went into his brother's closet. He put on his brother's clothing. He went before his father. "It's me," Jacob said to Isaac. "It's Esau. Now bless me." And Isaac blessed Jacob. You know, I have to imagine Jacob felt rather proud of himself in this moment. After all, he had played second fiddle to his brother Esau his entire life. He had always been looking up to him. But now, in this moment, he finally got the upper hand. Now, in this moment, he had finally pulled a fast one on his father. He had pulled a fast one on God himself, and that was why he was blessed. Right? Well, not exactly. Because you see, if you go earlier in this story, if you read a few chapters earlier, you will see that God had already spoken a divine promise to the boy's mother, Rebekah. God had already come to Rebekah while she was pregnant, and God had promised this. And God said to Rebekah, "Two nations are in your womb, and the older, Esau, will serve the younger, Jacob." No, you see, the real reason Jacob was blessed in this scripture, at least according to the Bible, the real reason he received God's favor wasn't because he outsmarted his father, wasn't because he pulled a quick one on God. No, the real reason Jacob was blessed was simply this. He was blessed because God wanted it that way. Isn't that interesting? Jacob, he went to all this trouble to dress up like his brother. He went to all this trouble to pretend to be someone else, when all along, from the very beginning, God wanted to bless him in the first place. There's an old Jewish tale told by the author Elie Wiesel about a Hasidic rabbi named Zusia, who was a shy and timid man. One day near the end of his life, Zusia stood up before his congregation in order to deliver one of his final sermons to them. And the legend goes that when Zusia stood up before his congregation, he began his message simply by saying to them this. He said, "One day soon, friends, I will die. And when I go to heaven and I present myself before the throne of God, my Creator, I do not think God will ask me, 'Zusia, why were you not Moses?' For God would know Moses was a great prophet and, well, I'm not. And God will not ask me, 'Zusia, why were you not Jeremiah?' Because, of course, Jeremiah was a great writer and I am not. And I do not believe God will ask me, 'Zusia, why were you not Rabbi Akiba?' Because God knows Rabbi Akiba was a wonderful teacher, and I am not. But when I get to heaven," he said, "I do fear God will ask me this. Zeusia? Why were you not Zeusia? And to this question, I will have no answer. Yes, we live in a world that tells us in order to be blessed, in order to receive God's favor, we just have to be someone else. If we want to receive the fullness of God's love, well, then we better start acting a little bit more like Esau. Forget keeping up with the Joneses. Now we want to be the Joneses. We want what he has or what she looks like, and we think to ourselves, if we could just have that, if we could just be a little bit more like them, then we would be happy, then we would be blessed. But how much pain is caused in our life simply by us trying to be something we're not, simply by us trying to be someone we're not? Someone funnier, or someone taller, or someone faster, or someone skinnier, or someone more successful, someone who has life just a little bit more figured out is a message of inadequacy. And it's poured over our life again and again and again. It's that message that tells us, in order for us to be loved, well, we have to change first. Of course, it's not just outsiders who inflict this message upon us either. No, no, sometimes this message, it comes to us from those people we care about the most. I've known people who have carried with them their entire lives memories of things said to them when they were just a child, things said to them by their very own family. Why can't you be more like your brother? Can't you at least try to be pretty? Don't you know? You were a mistake. You see, sometimes it's our closest relationships that can cause us the most pain. After all, it was Rebekah who told Jacob he needed to dress up like his brother in order to be blessed. It was his own mother who told him he had to be someone else if he ever wanted to receive God's favor. And I'm sure at the time she thought she was doing the right thing. We always think we're doing the right thing. All she wanted was for him to be successful, but well, in the end, that advice only caused Jacob pain. Because you see, when Esau heard what his brother had done, he became angry. Enraged, in fact, he threatened to kill Jacob, and Jacob spent the next 20 years of his life on the run. He was running from his past, he was running from his family, he was running from his true identity, and that's what happens when you try to be someone you're not. You spend your entire life running. In fact, it wasn't until years later that Jacob finally grew exhausted to the point where he just had to stop running. It was decades later when he finally paused and he realized for a moment that the person he was, well, it was exactly the person God created him to be. Let's make no mistake about it. God does not need you to be Moses. And God does not need you to be Jeremiah. God needs you to be you. Because from your very beginning, from your very first breath, God has said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, I created you and knit you together in your mother's womb for purpose and meaning and a calling. And it's a calling I've given only to you. And if you don't do it, then who will? God says you don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to run anymore because you are the person I want to bless. You are exactly the person I made you to be. So why, I ask you, would you ever want to be anyone different? I remember a conversation once I had with a friend of mine from seminary. It was a woman in her mid-30s who had a left hand which never fully developed as a child. It was underdeveloped. It could hold a pencil, but much more than that, and she always had to ask for help. I can still remember the class where we got into some conversation. We were talking about things like heaven and the afterlife. And, well, one of our fellow students, they turned to her and they asked her a question. They said, "Now tell me, when you finally make it to glory, what do you think your hand's going to be like? Do you think your hand's going to be different when you get to heaven?" She looked back with a confused look. She said, "Different? Oh, God, no, I hope not." She said, "Don't you realize this hand is what has made me into the person I am today? This hand is God's gift to me. This hand is what taught me compassion. This hand is what taught me humility. This hand has made me into a better person. It has made me into a better minister. So do I think my hand will be different in heaven?" she said. "No. No, I think it's going to be the most beautiful thing about me." Yes, God does not need you to be Moses. God does not need you to be Jeremiah. God simply needs you to be you. So may you stop believing the lie that you have to change in order to be loved. May you have the courage to stop running from your past and to embrace your true identity. And may you experience the fullness of God's love and God's peace and God's blessing in your life, because that blessing, well, it's for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? For the person you have created us to be, O God, we give you thanks. For your favor that you have shown upon us, we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that we are simply recipients of your good gifts, and we celebrate those gifts today. For we offer this prayer and all our prayers in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.